your name, Jesus. We glorify you today. We magnify you, Lord Jesus. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, God. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can take your seats this morning. Good morning. Praise the Lord. We're at Family Church. Glory to God. We're so thrilled to be back with you. And we are excited about the meetings. We had a great time last night in Olean. And folks were filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Refilled with the Holy Ghost too. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many of you know we leak? We need to continually be filled up with the Holy Ghost. And Kevin ministered to us last night about the power of God on the inside of us. Praise God. And it's just such a good reminder that we have power in us. Amen. And we're never at a loss because we've got the greater one on the inside of us. Praise the Lord. And so the more we are aware of His presence, the more we are flowing with Him and cooperate with Him. Amen. And so praise God for that. And these services here in South Dayton, you don't want to miss them. Amen. We know that other folks from other family churches, I'm sure, will be joining us as well tomorrow night and Tuesday night. So get here. Get here. The first people we're here for are you. Amen. We're here for this church. Praise God. And so God has special things that He wants to say to all of us. Praise the Lord. And we're not going to miss out. Amen. Praise God. So people say, well, what's the best night to come? Who's going to preach on Sunday night? Who's going to preach Monday night? Who's going to preach Tuesday night? I will tell you this, the Holy Spirit has things to say. And we don't know who He's going to say them through yet, but He's going to say it. Praise the Lord. And He's going to confirm His word with signs following. Bodies will be healed. Amen. Bodies were healed the last time we were here. Bodies will be healed this time. Praise the Lord. And so we're just thrilled. Praise God. Let me tell you about a few things. Pastor already told you, of course, that our ministry materials are available for you out in the foyer, either before or after services. But I'll highlight a few things. This is two messages on CD called Updates and Downloads, if you don't already have this. There are things in our lives, just like on your smartphone or on your computer, you have a little number sometimes that says that updates are ready. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Generally speaking, for me, that number starts getting pretty big sometimes. I don't always click on my updates. I'm not always the quickest one to get them, because usually I see the update when I want to be doing something else. And, you know, it's like, well, this might take a while. This is going to take away from something I'm already doing. And so we get kind of in that mindset sometimes about, you know, not clicking on the updates. But the same thing happens when you get in the Spirit with God. He's got some updates for you. Amen. The Bible says, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered yet into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that He loves. Amen. The Amplified says the things that God has made and is keeping ready. Keeping ready. He's got some things ready for you. Amen. But if you don't click on your updates, you know, we get in church and it's amazing how if throughout the week you haven't been spending any time with Him, when you get in church, you realize updates are ready. Because you hadn't clicked on them during the week. And then you get in the presence of the Lord and Pastor Mike's got a message for you and you're distracted because you're thinking, whoa, God's talking to me. Yeah. Absolutely. Amen. Let's stay in fellowship. Let's click on all those updates all week long. Amen. And so when you get in prayer, it's one of those times that God can download some things into you. Amen. When we get in prayer, sometimes we're thinking about all the things we want to tell Him. But there's things He wants to tell us. Glory to God. Who would like to have this one? Anybody want to have this? I saw your hand up over here. You're welcome. Praise the Lord. And so that's available back there. And then one of my favorite messages from Kevin, no pastor, no pasture. No pastor, no pasture. The Bible says that the shepherd leads us, amen, into green pastures. Glory to God. And so he talks in here about the safety of a pastor, what God designed pastors to be in our lives. Praise God. And do you realize how blessed you are? Amen. Amen. You don't just have a church. You don't just have a bunch of people you fellowship with. God has given you Pastor Mike and Pastor Courtney. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Go ahead. That's an appropriate time. Amen. And there is such safety in pastors. Amen. And it's a gift of God, a supernatural endowment from God. Amen. And when we see this, that supernatural side especially, and we value that, oh, praise God, you just keep seeing God in everything. Amen. You see how God cares for you. You see how God takes care of you. Praise the Lord. And so everybody really ought to have a copy of this. Who would like to have this one? Saw your hand right there. There you go. You're welcome. And one of my favorite things, and we're going to talk a little bit along these lines this morning. It'll be just barely anything similar, but it's the same subject. This is called, Can You Hear Me Now? Because you never know how things are going to come out. But God's the inventor of wireless communication. Yeah. Amen. And one of the ways that we communicate with God is worship. And this is a real practical way to worship God. And, you know, worship is one of those things. It's so interesting because it sounds like, because it's part of church, it's part of our culture in a sense, that you just think if you're born again, you already know how to do it. But there's no equivalent in the natural to worship. Worship is a supernatural exchange with God. And so there's nothing like it in the natural. It's not the same as liking a football team. It's not, well, to some people it's close. But it's not the same. It's not the same as a human relationship. It's completely different. And so God has ways for us to connect with Him. And He wants to connect with us. Praise the Lord. Somebody over here want to have this one? I saw your hand over there. That went up pretty quick. Would you mind passing that over? Thank you. Praise the Lord. And then our music is available as well. I See the World in Worship. We also have it in Spanish. And then Kevin has a CD called Awesome God that features his trumpet on every song. So those are available. And we have USB flash drives. If you like technology, I like things that are a blessing when they make life simple. You know, and so technology is advancing all the time. So we've got some USB drives out there. One has all of our audio teaching on it. If you've got a car with a USB port in it, you can just put it right in there and have your choice. We have one that has all of our music on it as well. So please make yourself available to those things in either before or after any of the services. You'll be blessed. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Have this back over you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We're in the right place at the right time. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for these meetings that we have together. Father, we ask you for your best. We ask you for unction. We ask you for utterance. We ask you for words from heaven. We ask you for signs accompanying those things, Lord God, that we will experience you. Your presence in our lives changes us. And so, Father, we desire your best and your highest for these meetings, for the family churches all around, but for this church in particular, for South Dayton, for Olean, for the churches pastored by Pastor Mike and Courtney. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the gifts and the calling of God that are without repentance. We thank you, Father, for whom you've called, you've also equipped. So we thank you for empowerment today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, I already gave away. I want to talk to you a little bit about worship this morning. But why? Why do we need to talk about worship? Because generally speaking, there are things that whatever you want to be good at takes practice. You know, you're not born with skill. You could be born with talent. You could be born with a gift. But skill takes practice. Amen? And I'm one of these people who, I like things that I'm kind of naturally good at. And I kind of gravitate to those things. And things that require practice, I've always kind of like, ugh. Anybody else besides me ever felt that way? When I took piano lessons when I was a kid, and my teacher on every little report, every week when I'd go to my thing, there would be practice. As you could tell, I haven't been practicing. And it's interesting how the teacher can tell that you haven't practiced. There's been zero change since the last week, you know. There's been no improvement. And so every week on my little report, you know, on my little book that I take after piano lessons would be practice and trim your nails. And because my nails would click on the keyboards and it was like, trim your nails and practice. And so I never enjoyed practicing. And even with other things that we do in our life, like we like to play golf. And you might look at me like, okay. But we like to play golf, and I'm kind of a naturally okay at it. I'm not great, but I'm not like horrible, and so I'm okay at it, but I still don't like to practice. And Kevin, on the other hand, is really good, and he likes to practice. And the reason he's really good is because he likes to practice. And so I have this thing with myself that if we're playing golf, and I'm doing a really poor job of it, I'm not allowed to get upset. Why? I haven't practiced. I'm not allowed to throw clubs. I'm not allowed, you know, I'm not that kind of person anyway, but I'm not allowed to get upset at myself because I haven't put the effort in to get any better. And so all of that to say, what things are you getting frustrated about in your life? What things, maybe you keep coming up against a thing, maybe it's physical, maybe it's financial, maybe it's relationships, maybe it's your own attitude, maybe you're getting angry too quickly, or you get anxious too quickly, or you get fearful too quickly. Some of these things that we think of as just emotional responses, for a faith person who should be anchored and stable, these things, you want to go, well, I shouldn't get too upset. I haven't put the work in. But what if you did put the work in? Could you change? Things with God, just because you're a Christian, doesn't mean you're good at it. Born again, yes. Glory to God. We are complete in Him. As far as He's concerned, His job is finished. Amen. But just like Heather and Jake and their little newborn, you know, I think she's a complete person. She's not incomplete. Isn't that right? She was born a whole person. But they don't just stick her in a room somewhere and go, whoop, our job's done. She's already a person. And nothing else we need to do. No, there's development. There's training, right? Along the way, she's going to have to learn how to do some things. She's going to have to learn to make some choices. Same thing's true with our life. And so there's some skill that requires some practice in the things of God. How are we going to have these benefits that we hear about coming from this pulpit every week? How are you going to be able to put into practice those things that Pastor is giving you the ammunition, giving you the things necessary to do? It's in the doing of it, isn't it? It's in the doing of it. I've said this before, I'll say it again. I love to watch home improvement stuff. You know, I like to watch the befores and the afters and all that, and I like to watch how they tile, or they, you know, drywall or wallpaper, all this kind of stuff that they do. And I've watched it all, and now I feel like, well, I know how to do it. I've watched it so much, I've been told so many times how to do it. But I'm fairly sure if I actually had to tile a floor, it wouldn't be pretty the first time. And I think sometimes we start in with the things of God and we put forth a little bit of effort, and it might be ugly. It might not be pretty at first. And so sometimes we take our hands off of it. I can't do it. I'm not any good at it. Well, keep going. Skill takes a little time. Skill takes practice. Amen. And anything really worth doing is worth taking the effort. It was worth the effort. As Pastor said, that woman with the issue of blood, she pressed. Bartimaeus, he did something. He did something. There was some effort involved. And the things of God, they're not work, but there is effort. There's purpose. We do things with purpose with God, and we do things on purpose with God. Amen? And so, all of that again to say, when it comes to worship, where are we with that? Where are we with that? I took a sneak peek during this morning's beginning part of the service and looked around. We're singing these words, no sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name than I've ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. Praise God. Talking about He's the light, and the darkness. He's the hope for the hopeless and the broken. And it's amazing how many people's expression doesn't change with any of those words. You are the light. See the light in my... Yeah. Have you ever found a tool or a fix for something, even in the natural, something in your life that where you're like, man, I am so glad I found this thing. Anybody? We were watching when we came in this morning. We drove in. We got here pretty early, and our sis over here was raking the leaves out of the parking lot, all the wet leaves, and there was a rake. It was like, you know, that's not the best tool, is it, at that time? I mean, it's a help when it's in your yard, right? And the leaves are dry, a rake is good. But then it's like, this is kind of like we're making do today, right? With a rake in the parking lot. She was cleaning it up. It was, yay. Praise the Lord. There's some thought there. At the same time, I remember when we lived in Alabama, we had all this property. And Kevin is like the best purchase he ever made. He still talks about how awesome this was this one leaf blower. I mean, you could blow the leaves across town with this thing. The backpack, you know, and the gas powered. And it's like, I mean, this thing will move some leaves. And we had property. We had a long driveway. And it would take over an hour, sometimes a couple of hours, just to blow leaves in the fall. But, you know, you'd hear him out there, and I mean, that place looked amazing. But you didn't have to rake. It was power. Power's good, right? Power is a help. And so this leaf blower, I mean, this is like, we'll still talk, I don't know what we'd do without the leaf blower. Maybe you got a snow blower. Maybe you shoveled for years and you finally got a snow blower and you're like, yes. Oh yeah. Anybody here, you know what I'm talking about? You found something that made your life easier. And isn't it amazing? Even the smallest things can just make you happier. You know what I mean? I said we like to play golf. I have a golf bag, and there's a contraption on my golf bag. There's a little magnetic closure and this spring-loaded thing, and it kind of lost its thing. So now it's just hanging open like. And it's where I kept the golf balls, and the golf balls kept jumping out, and I'd feel like, getting out of the clown car, and everything's going everywhere, you know. It's embarrassing. So I finally put all the balls in a Ziploc bag and put it in there, but the thing would never close. And so I'm trying now. I'm going, something has to fix this issue in my life. It's annoying. And Velcro. Velcro will do it. So I put Velcro on this side, Velcro on this side. Didn't work. Just not strong enough. That's not going to do it. You know, so I'm searching through the garage. What can I rig? Anybody rig anything, you know? How can I rig this? I came across a little bungee cord. I'm telling you, now every time I look at this golf bag, it smiles at me. Because the bungee thing is working. It's like, look what I did. I fixed that. I'm so happy. This little thing is now not annoying anymore. And we'll do that in our life. We'll do that in little things in the house or in the here, you know, in the garage, in the car, and the noise that bothers you in the car or something. You will go to great lengths to fix this area in your life. And yet, there is something available to you that will help you transform parts of your life that you've got no idea will be the fix that will make you so happy. So happy. But you haven't tapped into the power yet. A lot of folks are still raking and shoveling. You go, well, I can make it. I can do it. I'm strong. Look with me to Acts, the 16th chapter. Acts chapter 16. I don't know if you came out of a mainline denominational church. I grew up in what we would call a mainline denominational church. Maybe you came out of another church before you came to Family Church, or maybe you grew up in a denominational church. You know, we kind of consider this non-denominational. You know, it's not, it's different. Amen. Aren't you glad you found different? Or maybe you have, as I have, you know, even on television, you'll see a church service on TV, and it's, you know, the more traditional kind of look, and you're thinking, was I really part of something like that? Anybody else been there besides me? You're like, where's the life? Have you seen it's just kind of like they're just going through motions and ceremony and, you know, all this stuff, and people are coming in and going out, and there's no change, and they're going through the motions, and they're like, well, that's God to me. That's my relationship. And you think to yourself, boy, am I glad I found something else. I found some life. Did you find some life? Amen. What is it that appeals to you now that you think about? What is it that draws you here? I would imagine for so many of you, the preaching of the word, the teaching of the word has changed your life. Doesn't it? Because when you know the truth will make you free. It changes us, doesn't it? I mean, there are answers, right? Answers to life in the Word of God. You've seen it in your tithing. Have you proven it? Right? You give to God. God takes care. Amen. You've seen it that He supplies your need according to His riches and glory. You've seen it, your body healed at different times. You've seen God come through where it didn't look like anything else. There was no other way. So the word is coming forth, amen, but there's still an element. There's still an element we need to hook up with here. Acts the 16th chapter. Paul and Silas were thrown in prison. They were just doing the works of God, got thrown in prison, not only thrown in prison, but it said, verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, the jailer put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. So they are not only in prison, but now, I mean, they are, you know, immobile in prison. They can't even walk around in the cell. They're in stocks. Now, I don't know what situations in your life, like I said, what annoys you, what frustrates you, what is that thing that you keep coming up against that hasn't seemed to change yet? You've heard the word and you know what the word says. You know the word is supposed to make you free. But it just seems like you're still shoveling the snow instead of blowing it. You're just raking the leaves instead of blowing them out. You're lacking the power available. You know what the word says. It's supposed to work this way. But where's the power? Last night, Kevin addressed a portion of this with the power, being aware of the power that God put on the inside of us when we receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? But still, there's something about that power to have access to the power and have practical experience with the power. It's not a generic thing. It's not an it. It's a who. And everything God does in our lives, even with the Word, He says, my words are spirit in their life. Why are His words spirit in life? Because they come from Him. And so our connection with the power is our connection with Him. Our connection with Him. So here's Paul and Silas. They're needing some power, obviously. They're in jail. They can't do anything about this with their own strength. They can't figure it out. Amen? No amount of just thinking about this is going to change their situation. They need power. And so do you. You need power. You don't need more trying to figure out things. You need power. You need power. Well, we have access to it. How are we going to get it? What'd they do? But at midnight, verse 25, Paul and Silas were praying and singing. Praying and singing. It doesn't say they were believing and standing. At midnight, Paul and Silas believed and stood. No, it's not what it says. They prayed and they sang praises. That's not just going, man, I'm tough. I'm gonna stand on God's word. He's gonna come through for me. I know He is. I'm standing. Well, where's the power come from? Standing? Power comes from Him. Let's connect with Him. So they prayed to God and sang praises to God. And the prisoners heard them. This was not a silent thing. Well, I praise God this way. I have my own way. I praise God this way. Anybody married in here? Is this how you communicate with your spouse? Where's the drummer? We need a drummer right now. Not true at all. Could you live your life without communication? Could you live your life and have a happy life? Well, they know what I mean. The only way they can know is if you talk. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Look with me, if you would, to John's Gospel, the 4th chapter. John chapter 4. Here in this chapter, Jesus and His disciples are going from one place to another, and Jesus stops in Samaria at a well, Jacob's well, as a matter of fact, and he stops at this well, and the disciples go into town to buy food. And so now he stops at this well, and a woman comes by. And the well, it's not like, they don't have the indoor plumbing. They can't just turn the faucet on at home. They've got to go get water every day. It's a necessity. And so every day she's drawing water. Every day she comes to this well.
an absolute necessity for water. And so Jesus is standing there, and this woman comes to draw water, and he says to her, "Give me something to drink." Well, a few things are coming into play here, because number one, she says, wait a minute, why are you talking to me? It's a Jew talking to a Samaritan. That was odd. They didn't have much dealings with each other. And not only that, but she's a Samaritan woman. So you got the man-woman thing happening here. And so she's like, wait a second, you're a Jew, you're a man, talking to me, I'm a Samaritan woman. What's going on? And Jesus said this, verse 10, John chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, "Give me something," you would have asked me for something and I would give it to you. We looked last night, Kevin mentioned last night, John's Gospel, the 7th chapter, where Jesus is at the feast and he says, "If anybody thirsts," Pastor said it this morning too, "If any man thirsts, let him come to me." If you're hungry, if you're thirsty, come to me, Jesus said. If any thirsts, come to church. No, if any thirsts, come to me. If you've watched dry church on TV, or if you came from a dry church, right? It's obvious that somewhere along the line, they stopped coming to him, and they started coming to a building. A form of godliness denying the power. Forms of godliness get you absolutely nothing. Even if you're hearing the best word you can hear. But when we deny the power, how do we deny the power if we don't come to him? You can be in a church this amazing, hearing an amazing word, life-giving, transforming word coming from an anointing of your pastor. Because we know the word that's coming across this pulpit could be transforming to a greater degree than it already is. But you could come to a church like this and be yourself as dry as the stuff you've seen on television or the stuff you came out of. If you don't make a personal connection with power. Jesus said, "If any man thirsts, let him come to me." Come to me and drink. Come to me and drink. Then out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. In other words, when you come to me, then there will be a perpetual flow. There will be a constant flow. And so he said to this woman, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would ask me for something." In other words, I've got your answer. I've got your answer. I have it. Come to me. Amen. The woman said to him, "Sir, you don't have anything to draw with, and the well is deep. Where will you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Glory to God. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, "Give me a drink." How many things do we have in our lives we're struggling with, whether it's the anxiety, the fear, the confusion, just trying to figure things out, just trying to be tough, trying to be strong. We know what the word says, but there's still something we keep coming up against that's just not quite enough. You got to be honest with yourself. Amen. We were in a service one day, and a lot of the times, because we have our sound equipment like this, we're kind of on the side. And so Kevin was looking on the side. Like I said, I kind of snuck a peek this morning, looked at everybody during worship. And so Kevin was over here, and he was looking across a congregation where we were. And the Holy Spirit spoke up on the inside of him and said, "You see all these people?" Kevin's like, "Yeah, I see them." And he said, "You see half of them at that congregation, half of them aren't even worshiping me." The Lord said. And he says, if they're not worshiping me here, they're not worshiping me at home either. That's the truth. And he said, if they're not worshiping me here or at home, this is what the Holy Spirit said, they have little to no connection with me. Doesn't mean you're not born again. Doesn't mean they're not born again. Doesn't mean they're not hearing the word. Doesn't mean there's no faith. Means they have no connection, little to no connection with him. They're trying to do it all on just hearing a word and acting on a word, not realizing the word came from him. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that speaks to you, you would return it. Speak to him. Receive from him. Amen. It's his words you're hearing. And yet, we'll come into church and we'll go, you know, "You are the light and the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless." And yet, there's a disconnect because there's some things you're going through. You need him to be that for you. You need that connection. So how do we do it? Like I said, worship, there's no real equivalent in the natural for worship. How do we connect with him? Jesus said to this woman, he talks to her, and she says a little bit, and he says, "Go get your husband, we'll talk about this." And she says, "Well, I don't have a husband." He says, "Well, I know, you've had five, and the one you're with is not your husband." We know the story, right? And so all of a sudden she says, "Well, I perceive you're a prophet. You know things about me." Yes, he knows everything. Amen. He knows all those issues in your heart. He knows if you have problems with anxiety or fear or emotional issues. He knows if you're having issues with your money. He knows if you're having issues with your body. He knows all of it. Amen. But the issue isn't just that he knows. It's like if you knew the gift of God, you would ask him about it. You would talk to him about it. Not just try to deal or internalize or hide. You cannot hide any of it from him. Might as well get real. Might as well get real with him. So the woman said, she says, "I perceive you're a prophet." Then she has a question. How do I connect with God? How do I worship God? You Jews say it's this way. Our fathers say this way. Which way's right? So Jesus' answer is this. The time is coming, and now is, when true worshipers. Everybody say true worshipers. If there are true worshipers, there must be false worshipers. He made a distinction. When true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God's looking for people who will worship him. Why is he looking for people who will worship him? It's not an ego issue with him. He's not an egomaniac. "Oh, worship me. Come on, just make me feel good about myself." No, he knows. So Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God, you would ask me and I would give you. So what God's looking for true worshipers, he's looking for people who are connected so he can move. Because everything he does by relationship. It's not a legal transaction with him. It's not just business transactions. Well, I'm standing, God, you're obligated. No. No, no, no. That's like waving your marriage license in front of your husband or your wife, going, you're obligated to love me. We have a contract here. Where's the intimacy? Where's the communication? Where's the interaction? And so sometimes we're standing on God's word because we know it's true. It's like, but if you've got anxiety along with it, you're missing out on something. You're missing out on the relationship, the connection with Him. Trying to get something from Him when He's just going, hey, just look at me. If you knew you were talking to, you'd talk to me. Worship in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship. God knows if we'll get our eyes on Him, He can help us. He can help us. Praise God. Instead of us just kind of looking this direction all the time, I'm standing, I'm believing, I'm working on this project, on this faith project, I'm working on it. My body's got to get healed, and I'm standing on the Word, so I got to get the Word out, and I got to get the Scriptures out, and I got to confess the Word. And we're doing this like looking this direction all the time when we forget this. Paul and Silas were in jail. They're not like, we were just doing the work of God. I mean, we're just doing the will of God. I don't know why this is happening to me. I don't understand. It's supposed to be easier than this. They turned to Him. They didn't know what was going to get them out of prison. They just turned to Him because He's their answer. And an earthquake happened and the whole prison shook and they got out. It's no mystery God wants you blessed, but sometimes it's a mystery how He's going to get it to you. So Jesus said that true worshipers need to worship in spirit and in truth. Well, what's that mean? We don't communicate with God with our mind. He's not a mind. Jesus went on to say, God is spirit. God is spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Good news is, you're spirit too. You are. But where's your spirit? It's on the inside. It's in you. It's not your brain. Not just the fact that your hands are up makes it worship. Because you can be thinking a million things with your hands up. I need to change the oil in my car. I forgot eggs at the store. We need to get those before we go home. All right, we're gonna remember as soon as I get go to the grocery store. Sweeter name than the name of Jesus. Butter. No sweeter name than I've ever known. Your mind can be everywhere, anywhere. But it takes focus and purpose to keep your eyes on Him. Amen. To worship God in spirit and in truth. Number one, you are a spirit. He is a spirit. We communicate inside, from the inside. So that takes, like I said, takes a little focus, doing something on purpose. Just because the words are coming out of your mouth doesn't mean they're coming from your heart. Proof of that is you can sing along with the radio because you know the words. Doesn't have to be a Christian song. I was going down the road one time, listen to an oldies station. And, you know, I'm a kid of the 70s. My teenage years were in the 70s. And so the 70s song was coming on the radio, and I was singing along with it in the radio. Bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but you know the song? But the levee was dry. Drinking whiskey, or is it, what was it? Drinking whiskey and rye, singing. See? This will be the day that I die. And I'm going, you know, drink whiskey and rye, singing. Oh, I'm not going to go there. But I caught myself because I have trained myself to listen to the words that are coming out of my mouth. Because it's difficult for me at this stage in my life, because I've made a practice. I actually do practice this. I've made it a practice to keep a watch on my mouth. And the words that come out of my mouth need to come from my heart. And the things that are in my heart ought to come out of my mouth. So I was singing along with the song just because I knew the words. Didn't mean my heart was connected to it till those words came up. This will be the day that I die. I'm going, well, I'm not going to say that. But we can be in church and just sing along with whatever the worship team has decided we're going to do today. And you can think to yourself, because these are words about God or to God, this is what makes it worship. That's not what makes it worship. What makes it worship is when you take a drink from your heart, with your mouth, you have made a decision. These words mean something to me. Not just they should mean something to all of us. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name than I've ever known. No sweeter. Does that name mean anything to you? Or is it just a name? No, it's His name. What does His name have? There is no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. At the name of Jesus, every knee has to bow. Amen. The name of Jesus, you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Jesus said, "In my up until now, you haven't even asked anything in my name, but when I go, after I go, this will be a game changer. In my name, you can ask." That name, when we say it without any connection from our heart, we might as well be using the name in vain. We're to think about, who are we talking to? Who are we talking about? Jesus. We know Him. We know Him. Our words coming from our heart in spirit and in truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." The truth about God and the truth about who we are in God, we can take to Him. Amen. Talk to Him, or when we a lot of times speak about Him or truths about Him in some sense. That can be, you know, there are songs that just talk about who we are in Christ. Those are good, but those aren't worship songs. Actual worship is when we direct our attention to Him and speak truth to Him and about Him. Amen. Remember when Jesus told His disciples in the garden, He says, I'm getting ready to go through something. Could you watch with me? Right? He went away and prayed, came back, and they're all asleep. And He said, couldn't you watch with me for an hour? I'm only asking you for an hour. How long do we actually sing praise in a service? 10 minutes? 15 minutes? Could we give Him our undivided attention for 10 minutes? How much attention do we give things for much longer than that without our minds wandering? You might read a book and get absorbed in it. Or you might watch a television program. Don't anybody talk. I'm into this. Right? Somebody comes in, change the channel. Ah, you change the channel. I was into it. It was this. It meant something to me. Could you give him 10 minutes? Could you lasso your mind for 10 minutes? And make it captive. Bring the thoughts captive. Make your thoughts obedient to Christ. 10 minutes. Yeah, but I can't see him. I feel funny. What do I do? Do I do this? And you see people doing this sometimes, and you know that's like the most uncomfortable thing in the world. Like, I this is what we're supposed to do, right? So I'm doing this. This praise? Let me just give you a super practical. Can we do that? Is this okay today? Do you realize that we talk to people we can't see all the time? How normal is the telephone, really? We're so used to talking to people we can't see. We do it all the time. And just because you're on the telephone, have you noticed that you don't all of a sudden put on a different voice? You don't all of a sudden go, you know, like, hi, how are you? What are you doing now? I am at Walmart. What are you doing? When you talk to somebody, you talk to you're normal. Just because you can't see them doesn't mean all of a sudden, like, I'm very uncomfortable, I can't see you right now. I hope you can hear me. I'm not sure you can. Because I can't see your face. I don't know if you get me now. I don't know. I just need you to pick up some milk. Do you even get this request? I can't tell. I can't see you. I don't know if you're there. It's so normal to talk to people. We can't see them, but we know they're there. And when you talk to that person on the phone, without even thinking, you picture their face. Because we think in images. So you think of that person in whatever environment, they're in their car, they're at Walmart. Walmart's the theme for this weekend, apparently. And we go there. I mean, it's a normal place. So, but you picture somebody in their environment. And even if you talk with somebody like a representative from a company that you've never met, you still picture a person. Do you not? You even make up a person in your mind. Their voice. There's something about their voice. You've decided gender, ethnicity, age, hair color. I mean, you can make up a whole person just by hearing their voice, because you're not thinking invisible. You're thinking that voice belongs to a person. And so we think person. We think in images. And yet we come to God. And we're like, well, now what do we do now? When we sing words and we don't put them anywhere. We don't direct them anywhere. we just sing him out into the air. Well, he's you know, maybe he's. But Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's talking to you, you would talk to me. Talk to me. The words, when we're worshiping God together, it's just a way for us to do it together. You don't have to have somebody lead you in a song to worship God. You don't have to sing to worship God. It's basically words from your heart that make it worship. I have no idea the melodies that are in Psalms, the things that David sang to God. It talks about, you know, the notes that were sung and the, you know, but the words we have recorded. How many times he started off saying, God, all this is happening to me, but by the end of it, he's like, you're amazing. Do we get to that point where we're finally at that point where God, we're like, you are amazing. You have my answers. My eyes are on you. God, I'm going through some things, but my eyes are on you because you're amazing and you're awesome and you care about me. There's a connection to power. A connection to power. You don't have to have anything fancier going on up here than you've already got to worship God. Because people have tons of fancy and still nothing out here a lot of times. It's not what's going on up here that makes it worship. It will for them. But what will make it worship for you? If you connect. You start thinking, okay, God, I'm thinking about these words that I'm seeing on the screen. They mean something to me. They mean something to me. I'm going to bring them to you. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, the 15th verse says, by him, therefore, we offer a sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. That word sacrifice, sacrifice of praise. The Hebrew Christians, you know, they knew what it meant to bring a sacrifice. They had to bring something, didn't they, before? Before the blood of Jesus, they had to bring an animal or bring something physical to get into the presence of God. That was the protocol. You bring him something to come into his presence. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, Psalm says. So there's a protocol with God. You bring him something, not just bring your body and sit it in here, but you bring him something. So Hebrews says, by him, Jesus, because he brought, offered his own blood, now we still bring him something. We bring him now praise. What gets us into his presence? Praise. His presence is what's going to connect you with his power. Without his presence, you're going to be standing on his word, you know, just toughing it out. When what you need is his empowerment. Are you hearing me today? Are you getting this today? Praise God. Because there is another level. There's another level for you to connect with in God. There's this place in his presence that there's an element of, like I said, a focus on him. Can you watch with him? Can you give him your undivided attention for 10 minutes? Can you say, the grocery list can wait? The office stuff can wait. The stuff at home can wait. My focus is on you today. Because really, if my focus is on you, that stuff will be taken care of. I've got time with you right now. I'm going to get everything I can with you. With you, with you, with you. Because it makes the word make sense in my life. Then it makes that become a well of life on the inside of me. It's not something I have to keep going every day. Go chase after this and chase after this. I'll find it right here on the inside of me. It's perpetual now. It's just a flow. There's a flow. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hey, you might not act like somebody else might act. He's like, well, some people are a little more, you know, it's their personality. They just get into it more than others. But I want to ask you this. What do you get into? Because folks who say, well, it's just not my personality to do that, I want to say, well, then it's not your personality to do anything. Because there is something you get enthusiastic about. Whether it's fishing, hunting, the bills, shopping, your grandkids. There's something that makes you smile. There's something that connects your heart. Because if you say, well, it's just not my personality to worship God, then you just haven't opened your heart to that area. Because whatever you open your heart to, you'll get excited about. There's no such thing as a true worshiper who stands there like this with no expression. That's not true worship. What do you let your heart get attached to? Think about that. What do you let your heart get? Is it your grandkids? Is it a sport? Is it a hobby? Is it something in your home? Is it your job? Is it whatever it is that you like look forward to doing that brings a smile to your face? There is something in you that floats your boat. Let God have that part of you. Give God that part of you. Open your heart to Him. And like I said, not everybody's going to act the same way. But open your heart and act that way, your way to Him. You know what I'm saying? Put a smile on your face. Connect. Just like when you're talking on the phone, you still use your hands when you talk on the phone. They can't see you. But you have a need to express yourself, whether they can see you or not. But we get in church and we're like, I still use my hands when I talk to God. Because He's real to me. He's real to me. Psalms 51, I got to find a place to stop. Psalms 51 says this, David said, you desire truth in the inward parts. That word truth means reality. So he's saying God's looking for reality from you. Be real with Him. Open that part of your heart to God. Yeah, but other people are looking at me. They're really not. Everybody's all more concerned about themselves than about you. Yeah, but what will I look like? Who cares? The only people who maybe even will see you are already up here. The folks that are around you aren't going, those words up from that song, that first song. I've been quoting it all morning, No Sweeter Name. Can we put those words up on the screen? Let's look at those. Let's look at that verse, what comes after that chorus. The next one. You are the life to my heart and my soul. Think about this for just a second. Just you and God. You and God. How would you really talk to Him if you knew the gift of God that was in front of you? You are the life to my heart and my soul. You're the light to the darkness around me. Next. You're the hope to the hopeless and broken. You're the only truth in the way. Does that even make sense? Let's go back a couple. Go back to that verse again, if you would. Thank you for your help. You are the life to my heart and my soul. Can you say that to God and mean it? If you're born again, you ought to be able to. Could you say it to Him with your heart actually open? You are the life to my heart and my soul. Now, you might not speak in poems the way the pastor did this morning. Ordinarily, you know, we don't speak poetically. But doesn't this mean something? You are the life to my heart and my soul. There's no other life. You are the life to my heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. Paul and Silas were in prison, in the innermost prison, in the dark, and they sang praises to God. Why? He's the light to the darkness around you. Go to the next one again. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. Have you ever been hopeless or broken? He's our hope. You are the only truth in the way. If you think about those words, just let your heart go there and then tell Him. You're not just repeating words that are coming. Your answer's in this connection. You've been going so far, so far, so far, and still coming up, and you're trying to be tough and be in faith. Go here. Go here. Hallelujah. You are the light. You are the life to my heart and my soul. You are the life to my heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth and the way. No other name than the name of Jesus. No other name will I ever know. No other name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name I'll ever know. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I sense His presence right now. Why? Because I connected with Him. And I need You, Jesus. I need You.
deserve the glory and the honor. I lift my hands in worship as I lift your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. And I lift my hands in worship as I lift your holy name. For you are great, you do miracles so great, there is no one else like you. I believe it, Jesus. There is no one else like you. You are great, you do miracles so great, there is no one else like you. There is no deserve the glory and the honor and the honor. Lord, I lift my hands as I lift your holy name. For you are great, for you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else.
You're worthy, Lord Jesus. There is no one else like you. You are first place. I'm focused my attention on you. My heart is on you. Oh, I give you glory and honor and praise. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God.
Hallelujah. Did you sense a difference? Did you sense that difference? When you connect personally with Him, everything changes. I want to challenge you. In these meetings, we have an opportunity because we're coming together tonight and tomorrow night and Tuesday night, 3 days in a row. Not just Sunday to Wednesday and then Wednesday to Sunday, but you've got 3 days that when you come through these doors, you can purpose in your heart to give Him your full attention. When Pastor Mike leads us into the presence of God, give God your full attention. The rest of the services then will make a whole lot more sense. And the answers that you need are coming. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. He will be able to move into those areas of your life. Glory to God. I challenge you. I challenge you that every time you come through these doors, that you put aside that other stuff and give God your undivided attention with your mouth and with your heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you'll see things take a step up and then another step up and then another step up. And pretty soon those wells will be in you. They'll be in you. They'll be in you. They're not just be coming to draw water every day, but they'll be in you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We love you so much. We want to help you. Amen. We will continue to encourage you in these services to just get in His presence, because His presence makes all the difference in the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. We will be laying hands on people in these services Sunday night, Tuesday night. We will be making provision to lay hands on folks, especially for healing and for anything else the Holy Ghost directs us to. But come expecting. Amen. Come expecting change. Glory to God. Things are changing in here. Things are changing. Praise the Lord. Pastor.